five, six, seven, eight. Princeton. Princeton. We didn't go there, and neither did he.
Chris. Great. Okay, here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Gilmore to Say with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara.
We're here for part two.
Part two of Chris in International Women's Month.
Oh, God, you're right. We're spending International Women's Month talking about arguably one of the most disliked men on this show.
This is what this is about, you know?
Damn, man.
Yeah. So the man who, like, arguably showed up the least for the women on this show.
Correct.
Well, this isn't a roast.
It could be. Well,
it could be, but it's not. It's not.
No, it's not.
I don't hate this man.
Me either. Yeah. Yeah. But we have a lot to say on him. And we left off on a very, like, interesting question.
Yeah. It's been so long since we talked about it.
I know. We just talked about it.
Yeah. This might be confusing because I'm wearing a different shirt.
I'm wearing the same outfit.
No, I was just hot, so I changed. It wasn't to trick you. But if you're on audio, you wouldn't have known.
No, no one would know.
It's only if you're on YouTube you can see that I'm wearing something different. But I'm just hot. And now I'm wearing green because I feel like maybe Chris was green with jealousy.
Okay.
I don't know.
Great.
Should we just get into it?
Let's just talk about it. So the last question we left off on was, why did Lorelai make so many concessions for Chris's bad behavior as a dad? And why do you think Lorelai never resents him for being so absent? And I think this is so multi-layered.
Yeah.
There's so much to unpack. I think that overall, it's because of, like, the love that they share with each other. I think that she will always see him as, like, her 16-year-old high school love. And so there's a lot of compassion there for him. I think they commiserated on a lot of things growing up about feeling very trapped and very much like they were heading towards this plan that was laid out for them that they didn't necessarily want. And then kind of speaking to what I spoke to in the last episode about her choosing, like, hey, you know, I want to do this on my own. I'm going to move to Stars Hollow and make these decisions for myself and for my daughter. I think maybe giving him that permission a little bit. And again, we don't really fully know what the conversation was between the two of them. So it's really hard to use this as a reason. But I think that maybe feeling like she gave him permission to kind of come and go as he pleases, she then makes concessions for him in that way.
Do you think that the permission to come and go as he pleases was maybe if she upsets him in any way, he will just go? That if there is some part of her that makes too much of, like, not a fuss is the wrong word, but, like, if she asks too much of him that he's not willing to give, that he is not going to show up because maybe the expectations are too high, or he's going to feel upset because, like, it doesn't feel like he shows up for Rory. I mean, they have the phone call that we were talking about that we couldn't quite remember the origin of in the last episode. Of, like, he doesn't really show up for Rory, but he's not going to show up for Rory if the two of them are just, like, completely on the outs. Mm-hmm. They have the phone call, but I don't know.
I was going to say, Chris and Lorelai have been on the outs in the past in a way, like, after it should have been Lorelai, which is what we were talking about in the last episode. They get into this fight and she doesn't tell Rory why. Yeah. And they're having this phone call, like, and she's
doesn't,
like,
she, like, doesn't Chris, like, hug Rory through the window, like, while he's, like, glaring at Lorelai or something like that?
I'm like, okay, drama queen. But, you know, Rory's like, you guys gonna tell me what this fight is about? And despite the fact that Lorelai was going to bring it up to Rory before she brings it up to Chris, she doesn't tell Rory about it, which is interesting. And when...
Yeah, because it ends because she breaks her arm.
Yeah. But before that, when she's like, do you want to talk to mom? He's like, no, you say hi for me, kind of a thing. She brings it up, like, you're going to tell me what it is that you guys are fighting about? And she won't say anything. She's leaving Rory out of it. But Rory and Christopher are still able to maintain that relationship despite the fact that he and Lorelai aren't speaking. So...
Do you think that that is something to do with Rory being older? I know that, like, I'm like reflecting on this, I guess, in a way that, like, we can't really answer to, because I'm thinking about it a lot in terms of when she was growing up, and we don't know how much he showed up.
We don't. You know, Lorelai kind of speaks to it a little bit in the conversation that she has with that random woman at Rory's birthday parties. Remember, she's like, Lorelai, oh, she looks so much like Christopher. Does that kill you? You know? And I feel like she asks about Christopher, and Lorelai makes a comment like, he calls, we see him at the holidays, kind of a thing. Like, she's very kind of cryptic about it. So it's
as you would really be with someone who's trying
who
to.
Who you don't know. Yeah. Mitzi or whatever the fuck her name is. But yeah. I think that she
was on kind drugs of, for sure.
What?
Mitzi What'd was on say? Drugs for sure.
Oh,
Mitzi
for sure.
Yeah.
But I think that Lorelai is a little cryptic about the before times. It's almost the same way she is about her parents. Like, we don't really know how involved they were either, what the relationship was there. And all we have to base it off of is like, oh, is it Christmas already? You know, we'd see you once a year and that's kind of it. Is it the same with Christopher? We don't know. So there's a lot of story to kind of make up for there that I don't think we can necessarily do without hypothesizing on these things.
Yeah, because it feels like in season two, he actually does show up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. When she was like, ask your dad to come to the debutante ball, and they're kind of like hemming and hawing about it, but she does, and he shows up, and he's there, and he's
and
not
Lorelai available. Shocked.
Yeah, so shocked.
Which is interesting.
But he, like, they talk, Sherry comes, like, doesn't really get in the way of him and Rory's phone conversations. When Rory breaks her arm, he comes immediately, and it feels very odd Chris behavior that he would do that. Like, is he actually concerned about Rory and Lorelai? Is he showing out for Sherry, or him and Sherry on the outs? And so he feels like, I'm gonna run away from this and go help that.
I mean, I think he genuinely cares motives. That his daughter is in the hospital, of course, and was like, I broke, 700 laws to get here. I know he says that about getting to Gigi's birth and stuff, you know. So it sounds like he shows up where he feels like it matters. And in those very, like, when the stakes are high, he's there.
And he tells Rory that, like, he's going to be around a lot now. And then he leaves. Oh, Chris. And then, so, like, I think, like, the space for Lorelai to resent him really, I guess, lives in, like, season one and then post season two. Not that she can't resent him for the way that he has acted in the past, but, like, I don't think that there's, like, a real purpose to resent him when he is showing up. Maybe a skepticism to have that, like, it's completely founded and evidence-based. And then when they have their moment in Haunted Leg, and Rory kind of sides with Lorelai. Like, she doesn't want her to have that bad relationship with her dad. I forget when they talk about it. Is it in Lazy Hazy or in Haunted Leg? She, like, doesn't want that to cause a rift between the two of them. But she's basically all team Lorelai. And or maybe it's in the when they go to the baby shower. I forget exactly when this takes place, but
it's sometime before that. I don't remember exactly what episode, but I remember the conversation where Christopher leaves a voice message and he's like, hey, Lore, I just want to talk to you. And, like, Lorelai shuts off the voicemail or Rory shuts off the voicemail, something. The moment is escaping me, but I do remember Rory and Lorelai having a conversation where Lorelai basically says to her, like, I don't want you to cut off your dad just because I'm cutting off your dad. And Rory's like, no, he made me a promise and he broke it.
Yeah, he totally did. And then
it's giving emails this her. Is my thing.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. He emails her. And they have, like, a conversation about it that way.
Yeah, because Sherry sends the baby shower invitation. And Lorelai goes, doesn't she know we're on the outs? And where he says, well, we're not totally on the outs. Like, he emailed me, and so we've been emailing a little bit. And she was like, you should not feel bad about that. If you want to have a relationship with your dad, go ahead. Just because he and I are in this weird situation, that's okay.
Yeah. And then when he doesn't show up to graduation, which it's noted, and he's like, oh, he's traveling for work or something like that.
AKA David Sutcliffe was not available that day.
I know. Contractually, he had filled his obligation for the season. Something. I don't know. But or maybe they just didn't want him to be there. Maybe it was more about, like, would Chris have been like, hey, she didn't mention me in her speech.
Yeah, what would she say about him?
I had a father, and it is you.
And there he is. Right there. He is, there. Y'all. Yeah, what would she say about him?
I don't know.
He didn't really shape a lot of who she is. Her mom did that.
But it seems like a lot of it she leaves up to Rory. And it never feeds into how she feels about Chris, which is weird, especially as we get into season 5 about, like, how he is going to be a dad to Gigi. And she just, like, always shows up for her friend. And then, I mean, then Wedding But Blues happens. And then the person that encourages her to contact her dad or to talk to her dad is Lorelai once again. And it's interesting that she just doesn't seem to ever really hold that against him, that he was like a not a deadbeat father, but like half-assed this, not even half-assed, quarter-assed it. Like, he did not give half of himself to this.
But I think that a lot of that is just purely because she wants Rory to form her own opinions about it. I respect Lorelai a lot as a parent for not allowing her feelings about Chris to infiltrate the feelings that Rory has about Chris, because I
at
do
least
think
not to, at least not on Lorelai's behalf. It's like, or rather, Rory only ever does it on Lorelai's behalf. It's not something that's asked of her.
Yeah. And I think that that inherently is going to happen. And we see that play out. Like, that inherently happens, I think, sometimes for children of divorce or children whose parents are not together and living separately. I think that that can sometimes already just happen inherently because, you know, sometimes that does promote problems and friction, and it can get a little, you know, a little muddy, but it also doesn't have to. And I think that Lorelai's efforts to not shield Rory from the mistakes that her father has made, whatever they may be, again, I feel like that is a little blurry for us before season one.
Yeah, before he arrives on the scene.
But I think she really does want her to form her own opinions, because I think that Rory could have had a lot of resentment towards her father if every nook and cranny of Lorelai's feelings towards Christopher came out to Rory. And I've seen it happen. I've experienced it in some ways, you know, in my own family, where I think if you do allow those things, like, there's a line, like we said, between Rory being Lorelai's best friend and being her daughter. And I think that's the side of it that she errs on. Like, this is my daughter, and I'm not going to air my frustrations out or my feelings or my pain on this person and unload it on her, because that's not fair to her.
And I feel like in a lot of families, that's the exact problem in a lot of families, is that, like, mm-hmm. the parents are, like, letting the kids hear their frustrations mm-hmm. and are, like, forcing them to decide based on information they probably shouldn't have and opinions that they probably shouldn't be privy to, rather than, like, promoting good relationships with them regardless.
And in that way, I really do respect Lorelai for doing that, because I think she tries really hard to just be that kind of diplomatic parent where she's like, the door to Rory has always been open to you. Like, I want you guys to have a good relationship regardless of where you and I stand. And I admire her a lot for that. But I do think that there are ways in which she unfortunately does make concessions for Christopher, where maybe he needed to be held accountable a little bit more. Like, I almost feel like in an effort to shield Rory from this idea that her dad was absent, Lorelai almost makes up for that and compensates for that in a way that doesn't hold Christopher accountable. And that kind of makes the problem a little bit worse.
Yeah, because it really feels interesting that Lorelai, regardless of, like, whether or not she's going to do it in front of Rory, she never does it to Chris of, like, where have you been? Like, why are you not showing up like how you should? But when we get to season 5, Rory becomes a little bit of the parent and fully comes to Chris and says, stay away from mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's not anything that Lorelai, I think, ever would have said to Chris, like, stay away from Rory. It would have been the opposite of, like, where the fuck are you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, show up for her. Mm-hmm. Like, come to her things. Like, that sort of thing. But, yeah. I mean, he does. He does show up when called upon. He never really says no.
Right.
When asked or when arm is broken, he comes to mend.
100%. Yeah.
Who else could mend a broken arm? But
Christopher Chris, Hayden himself.
He breaks hearts and mends arms, that yeah, man.
Apparently so.
Yeah. But it's Rory who is like, yeah, stay away. Bye.
Yeah.
And when she shows up and Chris is there at lunch at the Dragonfly, he is like, when she shows up, it's like his dad is there and he shouldn't have been there. Mm-hmm. Like, Strobe has arrived, which is sad because I think his dad dies in the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
but it's like he's a kid and like his parent has walked into some place that he shouldn't have been. And he's like, oh, whoops.
I'm going to get in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
And it becomes about Lorelai. It's not about them.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's why I feel like a lot of their relationship becomes about the ways in which Chris shows up for Lorelai, not in which he shows up for Rory.
Yeah.
And that's where her being kind of an adult comes in. She can form her own choices, opinions, perspective on her father and the way that he shows up. And it's interesting because when they have that big fight in Haunted Leg.
My fave.
Chris starts blaming Lorelai for the way that Rory feels. She did not get there on her own. Have you met your daughter? Yeah. She could get to the fifth dimension on her own. Like, yeah.
Why does that make me want to cry?
Because I think it's unfair. I think it's unfair for Chris to blame Lorelai for Rory finally feeling like her dad doesn't want to be a part of her life and show up for her. And yeah, holding him accountable in a way that I don't want to say Lorelai isn't, because I do think in that specific moment in Haunted Leg, she is holding him accountable. She's not returning his calls, which is a little passive aggressive. Like, she's just going radio silent on him, but that's her right. I mean, he fucking abandoned them. This is the moment where he does abandon them, in my opinion. Yeah,
because
he didn't before that, because no, we don't know. But like,
when you make promises to someone and you're like, I'm going to show up, I'm here for you,
and then you don't and you leave them, that's abandonment.
Like a father.
That's abandonment.
Like water.
So he did abandon them and she's going radio silent and he's like, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. It's like, what do you mean this isn't fair, baby? You made your bed. Lie in it.
Yeah.
So
are you still engaged to Sherry?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Are you still with her? Yes. Are you going to marry her? Yes. Then, honey, we are where we are. Accept it. That is the splash of cold water in the face that he needed to hear. And I know that he needed to show up in order for her to say that to him.
That was the shove in the lake.
I was going to say, was it really a splash? It was more of a tsunami.
Yeah.
But I think in that moment, that's the first time both Rory and Lorelai have held him accountable for anything. And Rory continues on that path. Lorelai kind of like allows him back in a lot of ways.
Well, what's interesting about that fight is they have the fight. Emily's like, get the fuck out of here. Actually, dialogue, perfect. That's totally what she says.
Yeah.
And Lorelai walks out. She's like, just give it some time.
Yeah.
After like literally obliterating him. And then she walks out to make sure that he knows that everything
will
at some
okay
point in the future will be fine.
Yeah. Because
why does she need to do that?
Because I think at the root of it all, she still cares about him, values him. He's always going to be Rory's dad. What are they going to do? Just stop talking to him? They could.
Yeah, Luke, what are they going to do? Just stop talking to him?
But I
show
think
off that shirt.
Yeah. I'm also only this to a certain extent. But yeah. I think that she wants to remind him, like, it's always going to be fine. You're always going to be a part of our lives, but you need to leave us the fuck alone right now. You need to leave us alone. You just hurt us. You just hurt us, and you can't just come back and act like everything's fine. What are we going to do? Talk about this as if we're one big happy fucking family? We're not.
You come to my parents' house, who I have a great relationship with, and talk this out with me? well, over dinner.
Speaking of, the next question that we have is, why couldn't Emily and Richard see Christopher's flaws? And I think that's also multi-layered. That is like the biggest onion of one of the biggest onions of this show, because I think they put Christopher on this pedestal because he was willing to follow this plan.
I know. It's because he was willing. It was Lorelai's unwillingness that like knocked her down. I mean, there was a lot of things that actually knocked her down, but that was one of them. And then Chris is like, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, great. This got ruined because Lorelai didn't want to do it, but he would have married you.
Exactly. And exactly.
So and immediately. I
think falling in love with that idea, falling in love with Christopher's potential, like Christopher is the poster child for falling in love with potential.
Yeah.
Actually, Jess Mariano is, but Christopher's next
side
in line.
By side. And it's I don't a double think, feature.
But I don't think they could ever let go of that. They never let go of the potential he had, and they always blamed Lorelai for ruining it.
Yeah, and they really coddled him. Like, especially when we learn in the pilot, like, oh, how's Christopher doing? He's got a job. Mm-hmm. Beep, bop, boop. You work at a motel.
I hate that so much, because when you discover who Christopher is, when he actually comes on the scene, you find out that he really isn't much to
like be like man.
Tooting your horn over.
You tooted your horn over this man, Richard.
And your daughter
can't even buy
a
dictionary.
He can't even afford a dictionary. He can't even go to a bookstore without getting his credit card declined.
Not that that's like the mark of like a good person, but it's like you're lying.
No, but how dare you diminish your daughter's success by saying that this man was so successful and so smart and, oh, you must get your ambition from him. Like, fuck off. Please. It's a little misogynistic, in my opinion. And
100%.
I don't appreciate it. And so I do think that Emily and Richard's perspective on Christopher also really enabled him to blame circumstances for his failure, or other people to blame circumstances for his failure.
Yeah, he really leaned into letting other people blame the circumstances rather than being like, hey, y'all, this is my fault. But it's like he was bound for Princeton. And like he does not step in. Like this is his father that's yelling at the daughter he has and the mother of the daughter. And it's Richard that like comes in and shakes Strobe up. And it's like,
you're
know
spilling
that it's
my
hard.
Drink. That's the least of your problems, Strobe. Whenever he says that, I'm always like, you're upset that he's spilling your drink? He's literally about to body check you into this fireplace right now. You were about
to
become a part
beverage?
Of the fireplace. And you're upset that you have a dry cleaning bill? What?
It's about to get singed. About to burn it off your body. No problem, bud.
Yeah. No, but in thinking about that, kind of going back to the accountability of it all, I really do think that Lorelai holds him accountable in that moment as well. She's like, I knew it. And you sat there and you said nothing while you listened to them go on and on and on about how wonderful you are. And she's like, no, I'm not buying into this. I like the whole time that he's there, she's like, I'm so skeptical about this. And she won't like fully accept that he's changed. And even when Rory says something like, maybe he's here, like, you know, he's never come to Stars Hollow before. Like maybe he's here for XYZ. And she's like, all right, hon, just.
Wait, because that's the other thing too, is he's never been to Stars Hollow before.
Which is so fascinating to me. He's never been to Stars Hollow? Seen him?
Yeah.
When have you seen him?
I imagine maybe at the Gilmores. They would love to see him at the holidays.
That's
all dressed
the thing.
Up with a bow. They'd love it.
I'm sure that would be their favorite Christmas.
Sure, he
present.
Had a bow on.
Yeah.
Can you imagine David Sutcliffe with the big like puppy bow that you put on a puppy at Christmas? I'm here.
I love it.
Stop. Not the tongue out.
<laughs> I hate it.
In 2018, Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States. 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not yet been reunified.
Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, an organization called El Otro Lado works to reunify these families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practices.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families. Once reunited, El Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and the counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. If you believe that all families belong together, consider supporting El Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to El Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at elotrolado.org/volunteer. That's elotrolado.org/volunteer.
But, you know, I think that the baseline of the accountability that she holds him to is by not being with him until she feels like he's actually capable of stepping up.
Yeah.
Is that holding him accountable?
I don't know, because the first time that he shows up to be the debutante dad, she's like, great, let's make out. Like, yeah. This is awesome. You're here. You showed up for my daughter.
And in that regard, I also think that's a little dangerous on Lorelai's behalf, you know? Like, yeah. That's not really fair. Like, I'm not saying you have to take someone, you know, for everything. Like, for every stage of their lives that they're at, like, you don't have to take everybody in every form that they show up in, because if they're not showing up for you in the way that you need them to, yeah, I understand why you don't want to be with them. And that kind of harkens back to what I was sharing in the last episode, that I'm like, there was a reason she chose to do this by herself and to not marry him and to, you know, again, we don't really fully know what the conversation was, but to not consult him, as he says, in the revival. But at the same time, it's like, you can't pick and choose when he's ready for you, when he's right for you, and yeah. Like cherry pick that and say like, okay, good, it's time.
Well, you know, I feel like it's more either. Of like, if she's holding him accountable by not being with him until he kind of like proves himself, mm-hmm. It kind of feels like at the first sign of maybe he could be proving himself, she's like, done, I'm ready, cool.
Yeah.
You pass, like, the test, bud.
It's like, girly, it's, you like, gotta wait a little longer. He has to be more consistent.
Like, you need to wait a longer for yourself and for Rory, because, like, he's going to kiss you even if he has a girlfriend.
Apparently so. He and Dean have a lot of the same qualities. It's interesting because in thinking about Christopher's character, I know we compare him to Logan a lot, but he and Dean have a lot of the same qualities. He and Jess also have very similar qualities. And that kind of brings me to the next question, which is, do you think that Lorelai and Christopher are soulmates? And I don't know that they're soulmates, but I would maybe consider them twin flames in the same way that we consider Jess and Rory twin flames.
Right. Oh, I think that's so hard, because, like, I feel like with soulmates, like, it works out. Like, I think that sometimes you classify a really intense, like, love that feels, like, that you're so connected to that you had to let it go, mm-hmm. because it was the wrong time, or it was toxic, or it wasn't right for you. And I think that there's, like, a lot of instances of people wanting to call that soulmates, but, like, you just couldn't be together. But, like, in my mind, soulmates work out, like, unless, like, death would interrupt it. Like, I really feel like that's really, like, the only thing. I think that, like, the thing about soulmates is, like, you're going to work out. You're going to fit. It's going to make sense. Mm-hmm. You guys are going to find a way that the two of you make absolute sense together, and you're not going to let that go so easily. And I don't know if they're soulmates as much as they want to be soulmates.
I want you. What does she say? I want you to be the man I want to want, or something along those lines.
Too much wanting, Laura. Yeah,
there's so much wanting.
I think it's, I want you to be the man.
You are the man I want to want.
Yes, that's what it is. It's a season 7 thought, but I do agree that that is what she has thought all along. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. I think I'd have to like flesh out my thoughts on soulmates more fully.
I actually found a really interesting article about it because I was looking it up and I pulled this quote from it. It says, unlike life partners, what we consider to be soulmate relationships or the one, twin flame relationships are intense and challenging relationships that force us to deal with our unresolved issues and, through trials, tribulations, and breakthroughs, become a bigger person. Because of this intensity, it is uncommon for twin flames to be a lifelong partnership. Rather, they are people who enter your life for a period of time to help you grow and steer you on course. It is common for those relationships to separate because they are very difficult to maintain.
I think that that's true.
I think there are parts of that that can be true about Christopher and yeah, Lorelai.
I was going to say, I don't think that's entirely true because, like, I don't think that they're life partners and they do come in and out, but they will always be there because of the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the circumstances being Rory, were not involved. Like, if had they, backtracking, like, had they not had Rory, I don't know that that would have defined them so cleanly. I think it's because yeah. they had a link, and I don't think that soulmates need a link like that, and I don't necessarily think that twin flames need a link like that, but I think that maybe they kindled into twin flames because they couldn't quit each other, because they couldn't, because they had a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that fair. Link kept kindling, that one of the flames would go out and the other one would pop back up.
It's true. They were like those trick birthday candles.
Yes, they are trick birthday candles.
Maybe not twin flames.
They're not twin flames, but they're soulmates.
They're two trick candles from the same box.
On a birthday that will never end.
No, someone keeps blowing out one candle and then it goes out for a second.
It's Rory's 21st birthday cake. Like, it's just the tiered monstrosity and there the candles on it.
There you go.
That's exactly what it is.
That's it. Yeah, it's hard because I could define, I think, Rory and Jess as twin flames. We've talked about this before. You brought this up very early on, 2 years ago. Yeah. And I think that I agree with it, especially after seeing the definition of twin flames. It's like you have this very, very intense relationship with someone that challenges you and allows you the space to grow, but the relationship itself is too hard to maintain. That, like, it's just
for whatever
just not
reason.
Right.
I think for Jess, it was like anything was hard to maintain.
Sure. Yeah.
Sometimes I think it means the relationship itself is hard, which I think maybe defines Chris and Lorelai a little bit more.
Totally.
But no, I think there's aspects of it. I don't think it entirely, like, every piece of it has to fit for it to make sense.
No, definitely not. But yeah, I think that Lorelai and Christopher at a time were best friends, like leaned on each other in a lot of ways and grew up together and kind of turned to each other in what I was saying before, just commiserating over being two people whose paths were laid out for them by parents who kind of kept them under their thumb a little bit. And so I think that there was a lot of tetherment there because they could commiserate on that front. But I agree with you that I don't know if Rory wasn't a part of the equation, if they would have continued to revisit their relationship.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they both would have gone off and lived their separate lives and found other people. And
yeah,
that would have been that.
I feel like it would have fizzled out and maybe they would have been friends. Because mm-hmm. I think they had a really good rapport to have a good friendship and like could offer good advice to each other.
Yeah.
It does make me wonder, like, in thinking about it, like, them being like this tumultuous relationship, if they had ever like had sex before Christopher returns, like, if this was like just always an option that they left open for each other, because like that was not a difficult leap for the two of them.
No, so, like, it just kind of happened. Yeah.
So I wonder if like other, he hadn't been to Stars Hollow before, but like, I don't know what other, Rory was downstairs in the kitchen. It's not like they were too worried about that.
Yeah.
So it's like, I wonder if that piece of it has always remained open, or if like at some point Lorelai would have been like, this is never going to be romantic, if they could have been like platonic soulmates, like really good friends.
It's so interesting to me because I just want to know what happened during that period of time.
I just want to know.
Lorelai left, between Lorelai leaving and us meeting her in the pilot, because I just feel like sometimes And it's tough because television is like this. What we see is what we get, right? It's hard to really understand the past and the story before page one of a TV show, unless it's shown to us and we get one flashback and a lot of conversations surrounding the past. But I just find it fascinating, and I know that part of this was because she didn't write season seven, but Amy left those characters frozen in time for a long time. And yeah, it almost feels the same when talking about the past between Emily and Richard and Christopher and Lorelai and Rory. It's almost like that whole past between the two of them remained the same for 16 years.
Yeah, like the past in Dear Emily and Richard. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like they stood frozen in time. It's like, what? Like, when have Rory and Christopher and Lorelai all seen each other? Is this Lorelai and Christopher's first physical interaction with each other in 16 years? You know, like, do Lorelai and Emily and Richard still have the exact same tension? Nothing's happened in 16 years. There's been no fights. There's been no conversations. They just see each other at Christmas, say hello, goodbye, and act like everything's fine. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it just feels like we have very little context for what transpired, and 16 years is a long time.
It's a long time. And I will say, going back to the Emily and Richard flaws of it, that kind of reminded me that Lorelai didn't really talk to her parents, but Chris was talking to them. So I think that that's the other part of it, is like, he wanted to have the whole thing go down the way that they wanted to, like the marriage, the getting the job with one of their father's companies. And then when Lorelai dipped, he seemed to stay in touch with them. He seemed to call them and talk to them. And that's not something that Lorelai did. So I think that there's that aspect of it as well. But the only way we're going to know is a prequel. I don't want any more, like, Gilmore Girls from, like, I don't want, like, a Year in a Life season two. I want, like, Lorelai moves to Stars Hollow. Yeah. I want Emily and Richard prequel. Like, I want
me too.
Let's go backwards.
I want that.
We don't need any more forward. Want that. We got it.
We got it. I want the prequel. I'm a sucker for a prequel. I love it.
I know.
We should do an episode about prequels and sequels. Fanfic. That'd be fun.
Ooh.
The next question is, were there any points during the series where you rooted for them to end up together?
All the time.
For me, the end of season two.
Yes. But also in, like, when Chris is leaving in season one, I'm not rooting for them to be together, but I'm also, like, kind of, like, rooting for them to be together a little
bit. I know, me too. Because that was really the only substantial relationship that felt like it was worth rooting for at that time. We talked about this when we broke down season one on Patreon, and I think we talked a little bit about this in There's the Rub on season one when we did our recap on Pod, that it just felt like the writers did not know which thread to pull at romantically for Lorelai. So they kind of mishmashed everything into one. It was like kind of Luke, and Christopher comes back. Max is a part of the equation. You're like, who the fuck am I supposed to root for here? Who am I supposed to be invested in? And it's kind of like all three of them. And then she chooses Max, which is the one that you're like, not the least invested in, but the one that feels the least likely to work out.
Yeah.
And so, It's interesting because Christopher's felt like, even though I just went on a whole tangent about how we don't really know the history there, his kind of did feel like the most fleshed out.
Yeah, it feels like, and maybe it's like the most fleshed out because we didn't see it. And it's all kind of like, well, like they're having this like kind of like exposition dialogue where it's like, this is what happened. You crashed your dad's car. You were right there next to me. Like, I don't need to know anymore. I know exactly what these two are like. Like, it feels like.
Yeah.
Intense. The chemistry is there and the history. And I don't know, like, there's just something about it. And like, I think that David and Lauren were always selling it. Like, even when she called in Red Light on the Wedding Night at her own bachelorette party, like, there was just something about that conversation that just felt so like, and
I know
what now?
I like, know
that even in when you're so disappointed in him in introducing or presenting Lorelai Gilmore, it just feels like you're like, oh, okay,
I know.
And then he lets her down. And then at the end of season two, you're like, yes, okay.
Well, I just, like, wanted him to choose her. Like, I just wanted my girl to be chosen. Ugh. Why? I thought we were going to get through a whole episode without talking about that. I really thought we were going to get through this without talking about that.
You were wrong.
Anyway, I just wanted, I really wanted Lorelai to be chosen. I wanted that for her. And I wanted him to choose her under circumstances that were not a solution to a problem.
Yeah. I wanted her to get what she wanted.
Uh-huh. Me too. And what she wanted was Christopher. I felt like what she wanted for two seasons was Christopher. Like the Luke thing was being teased. The Max thing, of course, was in there. It felt like
he was unteased in season two a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a Tisket, a Tasket.
Yeah, but
feels like.
But I felt like Christopher was really the person that she wanted. That was what she wanted. And yeah, it just was such a shame to see her almost get it. She got so close to getting it.
Yeah.
Just for her, it to be ripped away from her.
Do you think she wanted him, or do you think she wanted to be wanted?
I think if she wanted to be wanted, Max wanted her. She turned that down.
Hmm.
She called Chris when she was at her bachelorette party.
Yeah.
If she just wanted to be wanted, she would have married Max.
You're so right.
She would have married the first guy that looked her way a long time ago. She didn't just want to be wanted. I think everybody wants to be wanted, but I think she wanted to be wanted by the person she wanted for a long time.
Yeah.
Until she said, "You are the man I want to want."
Which we don't know if that's even real, but we'll accept it.
True.
Because it
true.
Fits into the narrative of this whole conversation.
Yeah. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit because on that topic, one of the questions that was asked of us was, do you think that they had to get married to realize that they would never work? And I've always said yes.
Yeah. I think that we knew they wouldn't, but
yeah, I've always said, and it's funny doing this podcast for the last couple of years, I realize maybe how wrong I was to think this, but I always said that I felt like they needed to get married to show the audience that they weren't right for each other. But now knowing what I know now after talking about this show and, you know, our listeners sharing their opinions, I think the audience knew.
We knew.
I think they know.
Yeah, it wasn't very subtle.
No. But I think that they needed to know.
Yeah, I think they needed to know because I think that it was like a good wash, a good clean, a little nice little Chris cleanse to be like, oh, yeah, this is not right. You're not going to show up for my dad having a heart attack. Like, of course, because you turned off your phone and you needed space and you do show up when you hear about it, but it's like...
Of course, but he crawled into his little pity party hole because he is a very selfish person.
Yeah.
That man is very selfish.
Yeah, and I think that's been the case. And I think that that's really probably one of the things, like you were talking about in the revival, is like one of the most selfish things about him is he looked at his daughter and said, it's your mom's fault, basically. Like...
Yeah, I don't know that he necessarily was blaming her, but I do agree with you that he loves to use circumstances as reasons for him not showing up. When there were so many ways in which he could have shown up. And you know, at the beginning of the last episode, I pointed out, like, I wasn't consulted and, like, your mom wanted this. And it's like, I'm sure there is truth to that to a certain extent, but at what point does your contribution meet that in the middle?
And we know that that was because Rory was just asking about herself.
Oh yeah, but it does give us Logan a lot of context for this relationship that has been kind of a mystery this whole time as to, again, whether or not Chris really just didn't show up or whether or not Lorelai was like, I don't need you. I'm good. Yeah. I got this on my own.
Speaking of relationships being frozen,
lies somewhere in the middle.
That one feels like that as well.
Which
like
one?
You're telling me Chris and Rory, like you're telling me in the last 10 years since you graduated college that like you guys just like there's not really a lot there. Or maybe I don't know. Maybe we don't get a lot of context for it. He doesn't return until that moment.
No, it's the only moment we see him. And it's a big moment. There's a lot said in such a short period of time.
Yeah, going back a lot and writing on it.
Yeah. Going back and revisiting that, I was like, ooh, there's a lot here. There's a lot here. But it sounds to me like his relationship with Lorelai is kind of like at a distance.
And subsequently get married and then get divorced.
Yeah. And subsequently his relationship with Rory, it seems like, oh, thanks for making time for me, kid. Like, I never get to see you. And she's like, yeah, well.
Well, have you met you? Yeah.
Yeah.
In 2018, Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States. 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not yet been reunified.
Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, an organization called El Otro Lado works to reunify these families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practices.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families. Once reunited, El Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and the counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. If you believe that all families belong together, consider supporting El Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to El Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at elotrolado.org/volunteer. That's elotrolado.org/volunteer.
But no, I think that they had to get married to realize they wouldn't work, mm-hmm. but we did not need them to get married to realize they wouldn't work. I am interested, actually, if there's anyone who felt like they needed to watch their marriage unfold to be like, ooh, yeah, not this one, not the two of them. Mm-hmm. divorce.
It's possible. It's very possible. But to that end, the next question that was asked was, do you think that Christopher was set up to be endgame, but fans loved Luke so much that the writers changed it? Do you think the writers wanted us to root for Christopher?
I, like, admittedly think when it comes to this show, the writers want you to root for every character. Like, I don't think that they're coming in and be like, here's the villain. Like, I think that that's why we get Emily's perspective. That's why we get a Richard perspective. Like, we're showing you the heart of all of these characters. I don't think we really get Christopher's heart, actually. Questionable if he has one. Probably does. Must have one at some point. But I don't know that they don't want us to not root for him. Like, I feel like I don't know if it's like root for him. It has to be in terms of him and Lorelai, because like, what is there to root for Chris otherwise?
Well, rooting for him to be a father happy? That shows up.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Yeah, probably, because we love Rory. And so I think that I don't know if it's like we're rooting for Chris's sake. But we're rooting for him to be there for our girl Rory, for sure.
For sure. I think that the context of the question is probably in regards to Lorelai, especially because they brought up Luke.
Yeah, that's what I think.
But I think that you could maybe make that argument for the writers being like, yeah, this is the guy that we want her to end up with if Luke's character had been a woman, Daisy, as he was maybe originally intended to. Or, you know, just in season one alone, like, I don't know if the direction of it, they really intended for Luke to be the guy she ended up with and to build that up. Maybe in season one, they were thinking maybe Rory's parents will end up together. But I just don't see Amy being the kind of person that's predictable. She's not the person that's going to take that route, in my opinion. Be like, yeah, at the end of the day, Rory's parents are going to end up together. Maybe. But I also don't think that Amy wrote this show with the intention for us to root for the women to necessarily end up with a guy as their happy ending. I think that she wanted us to root for those women and whatever made them happy.
Yeah, but I do think that when like a writer introduces a love interest, I think that they're writing it like, ooh, I want them to root for them because I want to break them down. I want to break the viewer. I want to break hearts. Like, I want to cause like dramatic emotional responses to this.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion, that like, we are rooting for Chris so that he can let us down. And if we aren't rooting for him when he does let us down, we're like, keep on going.
Yeah.
Move right along, well, my
it's
dude.
It's the same with Jess.
Yeah. So she wants us to fall in love with him a little bit.
A little
and
bit.
Root for him and for the cause.
It's hard not to. Because I will say that even though like Christopher has his downfalls, like again, the chemistry between him and Lorelai, and just he's cute. He's a cutie.
He is a cutie.
When he shows up, you're just like, oh, hi. Hi.
Oh, hi, leather daddy. Jacket.
Yeah.
Daddy. He is her daddy for sure.
He certainly is.
In the question of do you think the writers set them up to be endgame, I don't think that the writers necessarily set anyone up to be endgame beyond one of the seasons. I think that once they were like ending season 5 with the proposal, like I think the intention is that they'd be endgame. But
I think by season 2 they knew Luke and Lorelai were the Jim and Pam, the Ross and Rachel. Like they were.
But I think it's more of like writers, at least these writers, didn't know they were going to be coming back for another season.
Correct.
And so it's like they have to be so invested in their show, but also invested in the fact that like this might be the end of this season.
Yeah, totally.
Like, or the series might end on this season. And maybe that was why all of the endings after 4 were just so fucking dramatic, because like
for cliffhangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Amy was like, I have
to try to cancel us after this.
Yeah. The audience will riot.
Yeah, absolutely riot. And so I think that there was that intention to have Luke be endgame. I don't think that there was ever like a let's have Chris be endgame.
No, like, maybe the season
you
7
you saw
writers.
How the revival ended.
Yeah.
Like, they could have just been like, you know what? We didn't want to get divorced. We love each other.
Yeah.
And end them together. Like,
yeah.
But it was Luke. I don't.
Oh, it was always Luke. Yeah, I think. Or at least by season 2, I think it was Luke. I think the reason that, again, they didn't know which thread to pull at romantically in season 1 is because they were like, there are so many options. Which one do we pick? I don't know. Let's let the audience decide.
Yeah. Just throw everything but the bagel at us. And
yeah, everything but the bagel. Love that stuff. Let's
see what happens, see what flavor sticks. But I don't think it's like, I don't know, but I don't think that writers, at least in this time period, were writing too much for the fans. I don't think that the response to it was present enough.
Yeah, no, not as present as it was today.
Like in 2001 they were like writing handwritten letters.
Yeah.
Like doing Gallup polls on the corner of streets. Like, it's not like this was like very quickly coming back to the writers that this wasn't working.
No, definitely not. I think that that's why it's so popular now, is because we have the outlet to talk about it as much as we do.
We do.
Whereas at the time we didn't. So I'm curious. I'm curious if the threads that they pulled out were because they wanted to or because they knew that the fandom would respond well to it.
Yeah. Oh my God, I really want to have Sheila back on the show.
I know.
And ask all these questions that we didn't ask the first time.
I know. There's so many. Well, we'll have to have her back. It'll be fun. This question was super fun for me. Who was more immature, Chris or Lorelai?
I don't know, man.
They're both immature, but I put Chris. For me, like, Chris, without a doubt, I think, like, grand scheme was much less. I would say Chris is more irresponsible.
I would go as far as to say irresponsible and immature. Mm-hmm. Like, just simply from the fact that Lorelai had a baby and she raised it.
Yeah.
Her.
I mean, Chris ended up raising Gigi.
Yeah. He stepped up to the plate late in life.
He did. But he also owns, I think he says this in Christopher Returns, like, I never would have been able to do what you do. Or maybe he says this. No, I actually think they have this conversation when she goes over and she's like, where's Sherry? And he's like, she left. So casually. Like, cool. She's gone. And he's like, I can't do what you do, what you did. I can't do it. And he's like, if it had been me, if the tables had been turned, I would not have been able to raise Rory. And she's like, I don't believe that for a second. If you were put in those circumstances, you absolutely would have stepped up. And now you have been, and you're going to step up and you're going to be fine. So shower, because you smell. And that was, you know, that was the conversation.
And that's like such a hard conversation to have with the man who like didn't really step up for you, but he's going to step up for this baby. Because like, what's the... What, are you going to resent a baby for him stepping up for her? Like, no. She's going to step in and be like, yeah, you're going to do this. And you didn't do it then. You don't get to give me compliments about it right now because you've got a baby. Go take a shower. She knows you smell. She can't say it, though, with her words.
Yeah. She's saying it, though, with her screams.
Yeah. That's why she's screaming.
That's why she's yelling. You are so stinky.
Gigi's got good taste.
She really does. And good sense of smell.
Yeah. Look at that.
So the last question is, why did I turn into a chain smoker? So the last question.
Okay.
So the last question is, will Chris ever get over Lorelai?
Interesting. I personally believe, remember that? The Miss Teen USA? Or is it? Yeah, I think it was Miss Teen USA. You go first. I don't remember what I personally believe.
Great.
This is ending on a high note.
You know, I think that I don't think he will ever be over her in the sense that, like, he was in love with her. And I think by the end of the series, he really wanted to be with her. And he realized that she was in love with somebody else. And he says something to Rory in the revival, because Rory says, like, I just want to let you know that Luke and Mom are getting married. And I just want to make sure you're not going to show up. And he says, knowing when to admit defeat is one of my better qualities. Which, that's an unreliable narrator moment, but we're going to bypass that.
Yeah.
Because his response isn't like, oh, come on, kid. Like, that was, like, you and I both know that, like, your mom and I are just not meant to be. Like, it wasn't like that. It was knowing when to accept defeat is one of my better qualities. That's not, I'm no longer in love with your mother. That's not, I'm over this.
Yeah.
That is, I know when to accept defeat.
Yeah. I think it's also like a, it happened, we tried it, I know it didn't work, but I'm not going to get over it. Like, if I was over it, I would have said something along the lines of, like, we tried that. It's, I'm glad she's happy. Like, no. He's just not going to act upon it anymore. At least as far as we know. Until he maybe becomes a grandfather.
Maybe. And
becomes his dad. I don't know. We'll see. We won't see.
We hopefully. Won't. I hope not. But no. I don't think that he'll ever get over her. I don't think he ever did. Like, even when he was with Sherry and he was all in, I really do feel like he was at one point with Sherry.
One point.
At one point.
Which point is to be discovered. But
yeah. I think that he still always envisioned a world in which the circumstances were right for him and Lorelai to end up together.
Yeah, absolutely. Given the fact that, like, even in season 6, they end up together. Like, sleeping together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's always going to anticipate something falling apart for her and them falling into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's done anticipating that.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't think he's ever actually over her.
No, I do think that if something ever went wrong for her, it would not be a hardship for him to show up and be like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, you're not
it's
wrong.
It's me, Chris.
Yeah.
Surprise, no, bitches.
He'd be there to catch her when she falls, kind of a thing.
Do you think so after the divorce? Or do you think he'd let her fall down and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry you fell on the ground?
Hard to say, because it sounds like in their conversation when Rory says, like, Mom and Luke are getting married, did she not tell you? He's like, I don't really keep up with my email. It's like, well, do you not keep up with your email? You have to. It's 2016 and you run a company. So you have to keep up with your email. Is it that you're avoiding? You avoid being in contact with her because you don't want to know?
It's interesting, though. He said, I don't keep up with my email. What a weird response. Did she email you? And you read it, and now you're like, that's a very odd thing to, very oddly specific thing to say in the year of 2016. It's not like I didn't get a text, I didn't get a call. It's, I don't keep up with my email, which is giving, I got an email.
Yeah.
Which we never hear from Lorelai.
No, no. But I do think that he would maybe avoid her, knowing that, you know, he just doesn't want to get his heart broken again. Because, look, season seven circumstances aside, the what was written into the story is that Lorelai married Christopher, even though she was still completely in love with Luke. Mm-hmm. And it left Christopher heartbroken because he yeah. knew that she was still in love with Luke, despite yeah. the way he behaved when
the fight they had.
Yes. Lorelai married him knowing she full well she was in love and invested in somebody else. And the reason she was yeah. marrying him was because he was the one who wanted to marry her. And the man she wanted to marry could not commit to him.
Yeah.
Could not commit to her.
Can you imagine how hard it would be to end a marriage hearing, I want to want you, but I don't.
Yeah.
I wish you were the one that I wanted. That would shatter me.
Especially with the person that I have been in love with for, you know, 20 yeah. years.
I wouldn't keep up with my email either.
Yeah. So it's tough to say whether or not he would actually be there for her. I think that he keeps an arm's length distance because he'll always love her. And it's the mother of his daughter. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh.
I love that song, but that moment at the end of season seven really gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
But I think that Christopher is very avoidant in that way. And I think that he will continue to kind of be a little bit of a bachelor because the person that he carries the torch for.
Ooh, is he single? I forget in the revival.
Rory asks him about Lana, I think is her name. And if they're still together. And I think he says no.
Hmm.
So he's doing what he always does. It's like, it's me either. I just watched it for this but it's giving Christopher returns. How so-and-so, like you said, she was the one to be gone by Easter or whatever he says.
A holiday.
And so I think that he just kind of reverts back to his old ways, but it's giving Jess Mariano, like holding a torch for a Gilmore girl.
Looking through the window.
Yeah.
Do you think if Lorelai would have walked through the window that he would have stared at her longingly?
Maybe. But I think that he's just, in general, accepted their circumstances. They will always be connected by Rory. And they will always be connected by the fact that they were in love when they were 16 years old. And there is something special about that. There is something rare about that. That's an irreplaceable kind of love. However, her soulmate, partner, lifelong man is Luke. I was like, what is this word?
Yeah. We love a lifelong man.
Lifelong man. That's Luke. And he's accepted that. And I think there's a difference between accepting something and like getting over something can mean acceptance. And I hope that he's able to accept those circumstances, but I don't know if he will ever get over her.
Yeah. And I wonder if that's like maybe the disconnect with him and Rory now is like, there's really no reason to show up for Rory because I'm not trying to impress anyone. I've already kind of ruined this thing between the two of us. So she can have her mom and I can let her have her mom and I'm not going to make a huge effort.
Which is a shame that he kind of reverts yeah. back to being who he is and everything he says. I call it the cave, his office, because I caved and joined the family business. Like eventually yeah. he just ended up exactly where he was planning to be, or it was planned for him to be.
Where he was expected to be. Yeah.
Yeah. And so his storyline is a little less satisfying, but I also don't think that we necessarily cared where he ended up by the end of it. And people yeah. may disagree with me on that, but.
Which is to say, like, to go back, I don't think we were rooting for Chris. I think we were rooting for him in relation to the Lorelais.
Mm-hmm.
But we, like, when he, like, kind of petered out and ended up in his quote-unquote cave, we're like, yeah, you can stay there, bud.
Yeah, you're fine.
That's where you meant to be.
Totally.
You got it. It makes me wonder, though, if Lorelai had not been in his life, would he have gotten where he is in the revival much, much sooner?
Yes.
Like, if he hadn't been her friend, even, like, that would have, he would have just sailed right into where he is now, I think.
Well, I think you could make an argument. I think you could make the argument that maybe he wouldn't have solely based on the fact that he wanted to, again, leave and go to Europe and travel around. Like, the dynastic plan for them when Lorelai got pregnant was for him to basically be that or to work for Richard.
Yeah.
And he didn't. So,
but I wonder how much of that, like, it's like going back to like needing the sequel. Like, I wonder how much of Chris was Chris and how much of Chris was brought out by Lorelai. Mm. Like, in the same way that I wonder how much of Chris, not Chris, how much Logan brought out Rory. And like, I kind of feel like Logan and Lorelai are similar in that regard, that they bring out someone new in their partner, or someone, they challenge them, yeah, or they inspire them to have maybe like a more adventurous sort of side, that maybe he, like, upon being with Lorelai as a teenager, was like, I'm gonna go sleep on a bench.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like gave him that like desire to break free, where she had the desire but was not gonna act upon it.
Yeah.
Was just gonna push up against all of the boundaries but never actually break them.
Yeah. We have to do an episode on Logan and Lorelai.
Yeah, my babies.
We do.
My babies.
Well, I'm so glad that we were able to do our Lorelai and Chris episodes, two-parter.
I know. We had so much to say, but only because y'all had so much to ask.
I know, genuinely. And on that note, we thought that we would round it out with a good old-fashioned Gilmore to Consider. It has been a minute since we did a Gilmore to Consider.
I really want to hear what everyone else has to say, what they think about what we said, if they feel like we missed anything.
Yeah.
Because they were the ones who asked these questions, and I feel like maybe they'll have different answers. Maybe they'll feel the same. I don't know.
And we'll have more to say on that in the next episode.